the biggest thing that someone could, you know, that wants to learn the business or wants to grow is just to start doing it. You know what I mean? They just got to get out there and whoever, and have a good mentor. Find somebody that's already doing what you want to do and just every day live it out. Welcome to the Media Core Minute Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Langmaid. I run a video production agency here in Minnesota. Today I'm joined by Mr. Corey Penz. Corey is one of the owners of Elcor Construction. Elcor is a heavy civil contractor based here in Rochester, Minnesota. How you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Good.
It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Be part of this. It's my first time doing a podcast.
Podcast at all.
I'm excited to do this.
So. I know. I've been pumped to have you on for a while. I mean, since I started, you've been right on the list, right on top. I'm like, gotta get Corey in here.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. I was trying to think back when we were first meeting, I feel like I was really early into starting the company, and I feel like I just reached out, probably social media. I think we just sat down, and you're like, this is what I'm trying to do, and then we just shot some videos. And just,
yeah, I think we were talking about that earlier. We're trying to figure out exactly, you know, when we first started working. I think you were really, might have been your first year in business.
It was.
And I remember sitting in our conference room at Elcor and kind of discussing our plans and what we want to do and what my vision is.
Yep.
So yeah, it was a cool experience. I think you brought a lot of good ideas to what we were trying to do.
I was pretty green at that time. Could you tell I didn't really?
Yeah, we worked together yeah, on a lot of things and trying to figure that out and try to really hone in on what we really wanted. But yeah. I'm really good at, you know, I know it looks good.
Yep.
You know, I have a vision for that, but you know, producing that, you know, it's not my skill set.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you how to build a road
or
put infrastructure in underground. But when it comes
you were doing some good drone videos.
I
will have to say that.
Okay. Yes, yeah. I do have some drone ability, but yeah.
I remember watching.
It's pretty amateur. It's pretty amateur.
You're like, this is what I was doing. I'm like, honestly, these are pretty cool. Like, yeah. We can do a different thing, but yeah, these are pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
Since then, content wise, do you feel like, you know, your content has stepped up? I get a lot of people like, man, like Elcor stuff is like crazy.
Well, that's good. Like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we really, you know, the last 5 years have really tried to show what, you know, what we do as a business and like to celebrate and to highlight these guys that are out in the field every yep. single day. And Elcor is just a big people company, right?
Right.
We highlight our guys and try to show what the blue collar work is, what it's about, you know, because a lot of people just kind of forget, you know, the infrastructure underneath the ground, what it takes to do that work.
Right.
By the time you turn your faucet on or turn your lights on or flush your toilet, or there's so many things that have to happen before you can do that. So to really highlight those guys and yeah. the work that they do. So that's really why we wanted to get more of a presence online. And it's a hiring thing as well. We try to recruit
yep.
and to highlight our guys. So
I remember some of the first projects we did, we would always get like pushback, like, oh no, I don't want to be on camera. And you know, but then once we started showing the videos, they're like, okay, this is cool. Like, I want to be on the videos. And
yeah, I know.
I remember pulling up to a job site and they're just like, oh, we're shooting a video today. And I'm like, that's cool. You know?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, a lot of these guys don't, you know, are afraid of the camera. I still yeah. am, right? I mean, we're not used to that. You know, we're used to getting up every day, putting our work yep. boots on and going to work. So to be a part of highlighting them and showing what they do, to yeah. be in an excavator and to run great on a dozer, there's a lot of skill that comes
Absolutely.
Along with that. You know, and even, not even that, but like grade setting or estimating the geometry and all the math and engineering that yeah. goes along with that infrastructure. You know, there's a lot to it. So
we had one of your guys even, we were decorating a Christmas tree and he was putting ornaments on with a big dozer.
With a bucket. Yeah.
That was crazy.
I think it was a 470 with a yeah. bucket tooth. Yeah. So that, I mean, that takes some skill.
It's precision. Yeah.
I mean, if anybody, yeah. And if you hop in there and actually run the controls, it's not a video yeah. game. There's a lot to yeah. it. And it takes a lot of years to get good. So, yeah.
Well, sweet. We're definitely going to get into kind of your story and, more into the Elcor Construction, but I know you guys as a Penz family have a rich history here in the Rochester area. I want to just kind of ask, like, tell us a little bit about the Penns family in general in this area, because you've been here quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, we have, and it's kind of cool to be a part of it. It's kind of intimidating at the same time. So my kids would be the seventh generation in Rochester.
Yep.
So I'd be the sixth, crazy. Obviously. Yeah. So my we came from Germany. Mm-hmm. We're German blood. We came from Germany in 1865.
Man.
So yeah. So from that long time ago, we were, you know, I don't know all the obviously what happened in 1865, but that we came here in Rochester area and we started a farm. So we are farmers from 1865. We've been farmers, you know, ever since 1865.
Yeah, since the beginning.
Yeah, since the beginning. And then do you want to keep going through the history?
Yeah, absolutely.
So 1950 is when we started a block plant. Mm-hmm. And the block plant was where Hy-Vee is on Civic Center.
Okay.
It used to be called the Barlow Plant. I think it's still called the Barlow
Plant. I think it is, yeah, Barlow Plant.
Yeah, so there's 40 acres right where that store was, mm-hmm. was the block plant. That my great grandfather started in 1950.
And this is like what kind of block? Just
so
like
cinder block, block for basements.
Yeah. Okay,
you know what I mean. So
just saw the need and they're like
saw the need. This. Yeah. So he was a farmer and he was an entrepreneurial spirit and always had an eye for, you know, doing something different and decided, hey, we should get into this. You know, saw a niche in the market. So decided to start a block plant. And then from there, he went on, I think in 53, he started, you know, you need sand, you need different materials to provide to make these blocks. So in 1953, he bought a sand pit and he started a sand pit. It was bare ground and had to, you know, do the stripping and do the mining of the sand. And that actually is Salem Sound.
Okay.
So Salem Sound is over by like Autumn Ridge.
Yep.
Yep. So when they mined it all, it was called Riverside Sand and Gravel.
Nice.
So he started that in 53. So those are really cool to be a part of those things.
Absolutely.
And to still see, you know, the fruits of the labor now around that, you know, existing sand pit, because all the sand's been mined out of it is homes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lake where people can, you know, they build upon. So my grandfather actually lives on that lake.
Does he?
It's kind of cool.
That's great. I love when companies will, like, they'll start a company and then you go, what's next? Well, like, what can supplement what we're doing? This would be perfect. You know, let's start that to supplement this. And it's,
100%.
You know, you build that out and let's, you know, you got this huge machine that's doing all these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
So what's after that? So when the block plant got big and kept getting growing and growing, in 68, they decided, hey, we need to get out of town a little bit because, mm-hmm. Rochester is growing. I don't actually know the population of Rochester at that time, but
that would be
interesting. It was growing and they wanted to get out. So they bought 200 acres over by where it used to be Old Fleet Farm.
Okay.
Fleet Farm is actually where our office is off of Carlton Street, which is my great grandfather developed that area.
That's
so
awesome.
He brought the block plant over there, and that's where it still is. It's Semstone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Carlton Street Enterprise Drive, and then above there is trailer courts that he developed.
Yep.
So that whole area was the block plant at one time. So
man.
Yeah, and so it's crazy to be, you know, to be a part of Rochester that way and to be a part of the development side and the land development and the construction side. You know, you really take great pride in that. And then so when they were selling the blocks to these people that were digging basements, they said, well, why don't we just dig our own basement?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then we got some excavating equipment and then we figured out how to dig our own basement. So then after digging our own basements, we decided, well, we can do, you know, do the sewer and water hookup. So it kind of just evolved
from there. You just keep evolving, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really cool to see that, you know, back then they kept, you know, they had their entrepreneur spirit and they were looking for the next thing and growing that business. And it's just cool to be a part of. So
growing up yourself, like, you know, was there a certain age where you like started to like appreciate some of like that history piece? Because, I mean, young kids, you can kind of understand it, but you're also doing your own thing. Like, when was it like, man, like, we've been here a while. We got a cool history here.
Yeah. So, I mean, we grew up in the construction era, right? My dad would take me to job sites. My dad was working a lot. He would be estimating jobs at night or, you know, taking us to job sites. But really understanding was probably in college. when you really understand, hey, what kind of legacy
they were doing.
That they've left and you know, and you want to be a part of that. Yep. So, yeah.
And then your dad started Elkhorn?
He did. Yeah. He started Elkhorn in 1986. Yeah. So with that, my grandfather, Lowell, was part of the block plant and then decided to get in the excavating business. Mm-hmm. So then they started digging their own basements and then turned into more sewer and water, demolition, footings, things like that. So they started a company called Fraser Construction.
Okay.
Yep. And they were a union company, and they were down doing a lot of mail work, deep foundations, earth retention work.
Right.
And then in 1986, my father started a Elkhorn Construction, which is more of land development, subdivision work, reconstructs, like tearing up old streets, replacing mm-hmm. new infrastructure, new streets, moving mass earthwork.
Right.
Doing that. So there's two different separate companies.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they had a gentleman's agreement, and they figured out, you know, we can still operate both businesses and
there's enough work around
and still get enough done. So, yeah.
How did, there's a lot of things going on. Like, how are they learning how to do all this stuff? You know,
They grew up on a farm, you know, they were hard workers. I think my dad was working by 8 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
he just
and
grew up doing it.
Yeah. He just grew up doing it. You know, and I think a lot of pieces, dedication, hard work.
I feel like the earthwork now, there's so much under the ground. It's got to be pretty complex.
It is. Yeah. When you get an urban reconstruct, which is like tearing up an old street mm-hmm. and replacing with a new street, there's tons of different things underground that you don't realize, you know, with fiber lines or gas lines or electrical lines or power lines or, you know, even the existing water main, the sewer, right. I mean, just everything. So there's a lot of planning. There's a lot of complex, potholing to figuring out where these things are. So you can put the new infrastructure in. So
transitioning into kind of you growing up, obviously you're growing up in the construction industry, you know, with dad. Past that, I mean, did you, out of high school, did you go to college?
I did. I went to Northwestern.
Up in the cities?
I did, yes. Nice. Yeah.
So, that's where Jake went.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I went there, and I worked every summer. Yep. For Elkhorn, you know, we're a business family. A lot of the Thanksgivings and Christmases are business related, which is good and bad, right? But we just grew up in that environment, mm-hmm. and I've grown to love it. You know,
absolutely.
It's all based on faith, family, dedication, working hard, and getting the job done and treating our people right. And like I said before, we really care about our people,
right?
And taking care of them and their families.
Oh,
so
what did you graduate with?
Just a business degree.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't really know going in, didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, you know?
So you weren't sure at the time,
when you grow up in the business, sometimes you're like, hey, I'm going to go do something different. Exactly. Right. But then when it gets down to it, you're like, hey, this is something
cool. I got to keep this going.
I want to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. So, that's what we decided to do. So,
and you got a couple of brothers.
I do. I have three brothers. Todd is the oldest. He's a year older than I am. We got into car dealerships. Mm-hmm. And so, he runs and owns with my father, Subaru of Rochester, the GMC store, and Nissan and Buick in Rochester.
Yep.
And then we just recently purchased Spring Valley Chevrolet.
That's right.
So yeah, we're kind of encompassing the dealership thing. So it's cool. I mean, I'm not really a part of it, but Thanksgiving,
but Christmas, again, family.
July 4th, it's definitely talked about.
Right.
So,
that's awesome. So growing up, and then eventually, when were you right out of college? Were you like, okay, I want to do this, and then you join Elkhorn and you're. What are you doing at that time?
Yeah, so when like I said, during high school, even when I was younger, I was working the summers. At Elkhorn. You know, I started my first thing. I couldn't drive, so I was in the shop sweeping the floors.
Yeah,
you know, we started there when I was 15, and then when I was 16, I started as a parts runner. Mm-hmm. And then when I turned 18, that's when I could go on a crew and actually be productive and get something done. So I started as a laborer, with a shovel.
Was that, dad wanted it that way.
Yeah. Right? So for sure. And I actually wanted it that way. I really, when I was on the cruise, I was trying to be like, hey, I'm not the owner's kid.
Exactly.
I didn't want to be perceived that way. No. So, it was a really big deal for me to just, actually prove that I, deserve to be here.
Absolutely.
So, and with hard work and just, you know, I've told this before too, you know, being the second generation, you know, as a business or as an owner now, as being a second generation, there's like 80% fail rate. I mean, it's a big deal. Oh, wow. And I've thought about that as I'm taking ownership over, you know, I've always wanted to be the hardest worker in the room, and I'm gonna prove that by, you know, not asking my guys not to, you know, do something I'm not.
Oh, you wouldn't do.
Yeah. So, it's So I mean, I started as a shovel, worked my way up. I did pretty much every job in Alcor. I've done the pipeline. I've done the labor positions. I've been operating. I've been a foreman, and then I moved into the office after learning all those trades.
Right.
I mean, I'm not good at everything, right? I mean, I'm a decent operator, but I'm not the best operator. We have just the best guys.
You got a lot of good guys.
We do, and we take pride in that. I mean, the guys are awesome. Yeah. So,
and that probably helped you doing everything now, being, you know, owning and managing.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Yeah.
Huge understanding.
Because you really understand what that guy, you know, when he's outside, you know, 12 hours a day shoveling. You really have a, you know, perspective of what they're going through, you know, what they need to learn. So, I mean, we really train our foremen and our operators to really, you know, everybody is really important at our company, and everybody has a job to do and a role that they provide, you know, so everybody can go home and you know, and enjoy their family life as well. So,
How active is dad in the company still?
Well, I mean, in the last five, I remember him working all the time. I mean, he has worked constantly. He's worked very, very hard in his life. And in the last 5 years, he's still involved, and we do a lot of big projects. So he's still involved in that.
Yep.
He's still involved on the money side of things, but he's definitely taken a step back in the last 5 years, quite a bit on the field operation side.
So. Is that fun for you, kind of getting to really run it now?
Yeah. I mean, I have a great mentor. I have a guy that I can, you know, ask questions about, and we just have a really good team. I mean, it's just not me. I mean, I really
surrounded by good
people. I am not the guy that's making this thing work. Yeah. You know what I mean? Our team from top to bottom is phenomenal.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And we've created a culture here at Alcor that's, you know, is great. It's great to be a part of, and it's fun to be around. So
what do you think makes Alcor as a company different than maybe others?
Well, I mean, we're a family business. You know what I mean? When there's an employee has an issue or they have something at home that they're worried about, it's just me and my father, maybe, if it's a really important deal, and maybe a couple others, you know, and we'll make a decision to help them out, or we move a different guy to a different crew. We're not a corporate business, right? So, I mean, the decisions can be made in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we really hit on a family structure. We care about our employees. We care about them going home every night and being, you know, work's not everything. You know, there's a family piece to this. We spend a lot of time with each other throughout the year. And if they're not happy at home or they're not happy at work, they, you know, it relates to both sides.
Yep.
So I think what's different is that, you know, we treat our employees as like family. And I'd do anything for any of them. So,
yeah. It was an interesting point, just that we can make a decision in 5 minutes. Obviously, we're significantly smaller as a company right now than you guys, but it's funny when even Jake and I are chatting, and he's like, you know, we gotta take time on this or something. Not necessarily time, but I'm like, Jake, it's you and I making the decision. Like, there's no one else we're like asking. We can figure this out together and then just do it.
Well, we're a big team collaborator, so we want to get everybody together and make a, you know, wise decision.
Right.
But it doesn't take a week long to figure out, you know, unless it's something really important that we need to really think about, and there's different avenues to handle the issue. But being a family business, we can make those decisions fairly quickly. Yeah.
So I know culture is just big. I know employees are big for you guys, and just culture is huge. Like, what kind of instilled that in you and wanted you to just continue on that? Like, it's about the people. It's about a culture that's, you know, that encompasses our ethics and everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because we're only as good as our guys in the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're not producing, if they're not having a good time, you know, the guys in the front office, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, it matters to the pipe layer, to the laborer, to the operator, to the foreman, you know, doing that work, getting the job done. It's a really rewarding job. You know, you can start on a job, you know, just be a bare piece of ground.
You can see it.
And you can start to see it evolve after, you know, a week at a time. Oh, man, it's really taking shape. Or, man, I can start to see the roads. Or, you know, we're providing water and sewer to the communities, you know. And it's just it's a really rewarding job. And it's all, you know, it's all about them and providing the resources and the ability to get their job done. So
and you have a good retention, though, too.
We do. We don't have a lot of turnover. And we really do. And we're really thankful for that. Not trying to boast about that, but yeah, we just, you know, we just have really good guys.
Well, the guys I see are the same guys I keep seeing. So
you're on the, on the job site. So what do you,
they recognize me and I'm like, oh, that's sweet. Like they've been here for the last, a couple years that at least I've worked with you guys.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Do we have problems? 100%. Right. Do we get everything right every time? No, but we really try. And I think the guys, and we do, you know, parties during the summer with family things. We'll rent out the Honker Stadium for the deck, and we'll do that. And we'll, you know, we do have Christmas parties, and we do a lot of team building things. So,
one of the things that I like to touch on, like when we're talking to people in business and owners and stuff like that, motivation is a big part of what you do. There's a lot of hard work, and for you, what are some things that like just keep you motivated, get you excited about just every day? You know.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think what gets us is just the relationships that we built with the people that are crew members and our foreman, even the evolving of the projects and how they're progressing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we have deadlines, we have timelines, we have a short period of window to get these projects done. You know, we're in Minnesota. It's either construction season or it's winter. Right. You know what I mean? There's only a certain part of time that we need to get this done. So that really motivates us, obviously, you know, deadlines, timelines.
What about you personally?
Yeah, I just enjoy being out with the guys. You know, I used to be in the office. I used to just project manage in the office, in the front office. And now I'm actually doing field operations. As an owner, that may be a little weird to be out in with the guys every day, but I thoroughly enjoy it. That's where you're making your money. That's where the guys are doing the work. You know, every day I'm talking with engineers and inspectors and foremen on the projects and just really being involved on that side of, you know, of the business. It's a really important piece to us and to be out there. And I, like I said, you know, one day I'll be in a haul truck, you know, maybe one day I'll be shoveling, you know, just to help the guys out. I'm a boots kind of guy, you know. Whatever. I'll get up every day. I'll work my ass off and I won't do anything that I'm going to ask my guys to do. So, and that's an important piece of Elcor. And I think, you know, the guys, it took a long time, you know, as an owner's kid to, you know, hey, I'm here. I want to come to work, but you know, after time and they really see that, you know, it's Elcor is a very important piece to me and you know,
and they realize, you're working hard.
I'm here, man. Yeah. I'm here.
It's fun too. Like just the variety of stuff that you guys get to do, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're a heavy civil contractor. So we do like, you know, like the underground side of things, but then we also like move dirt, you know, with big haul trucks.
Right.
And we do have a restoration piece to this. So it's all the silt fencing and the seeding and the mulching. And then also we have an asphalt division. So, you know, we come onto a site, we're pretty much a turnkey contractor that we can, you know, start to finish. We can do every piece of that. And so that really reflects to a lot of the business, you know, owners to see Elcor, they can go start to finish. They're not waiting on a subcontractor to do something. Yep. So
as a company, you know, how big are like just relationships, not really in the employee side, but like when you're trying to like get business, especially in Rochester, you know, or a little big town, like how big have like relationships been for the company and like, you know, continue to get jobs and win bids and things like that?
I think it's everything. I mean, relationships is such a key piece in any business and it's a huge business for us. We do a lot of private work. A lot of, you know, work, and we do a lot of city work, and obviously load bid wins, but there's a lot of jobs that we get just off relationships. One of their biggest projects that we, you know, that was noted last year was the North Broadway project.
Right.
I mean, that was a big undertaking.
That was a big one.
Yeah. I mean, just the timeline alone, you know, to go from, you know, the Silver Lake Bridge down to Civic Center. I mean, just to get that completed with sidewalks and to keep access to all the businesses and to get all that done.
And communication with businesses and just like
it was a big
understanding.
Yeah. I was the access manager on many other roles, but that was one of my job duties. It was to communicate.
Were you like sitting down and like meeting with everybody?
Cooking
and stuff.
Absolutely. That was actually the year before we did the project just south of tracks. Yeah. Yep. So communication.
Yeah.
And the construction industry is such a big deal. You know, it's so fast paced. Mm-hmm. There's so many things moving on. There's such big, heavy equipment happening, and communication is definitely a key piece for sure. But relationships is number one. I mean, we've had jobs that we've done that they've never bid out because they know Alcor can do it. They know they have the expertise, the equipment, and the knowledge to get it done. So I think, and then just with the relationships with the engineers, you know, the engineers and the cities, if they know, you know, Alcor has a good reputation, which we do, it definitely helps us get projects for sure.
What area do you guys serve?
Yeah, so we serve a 50-mile radius.
Okay, keep it local.
Yeah, we keep it local. We want everybody to be home at night. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that come and see us, you know, that have been traveling for a couple of years and they're not seeing their family. We really hone in on being a family company.
That's pretty normal for companies too, though, just to
travel. They just go wherever the work is.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could be in Wisconsin, sitting in a hotel room, you know, 5 days a week, you know, and seeing their family, you know, maybe they probably work a Saturday. So they see their family, you know, on a Sunday or not, you know? Yep. So that's something that we really,
have you always done that?
Yeah. We've always done that. We've, you know, for the last 36 years of just Alcor, but since the 50s, we've always stayed local and we'll travel to Winona, you know, or, you know, the surrounding Southeast Minnesota. But, you know, we really enjoy this area, and we really, you know, it's just, it works for us. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of companies, you know, they want to, grow that different way. And, you know, we are growing, you know, we started, we hired a new estimator and a few new people, and then we're actually starting a new earth retention division.
Yep.
Kind of a spinoff of what we're doing. So we're going to be downtown doing earth retention, you know, and digging, you know, 30 feet deep and doing new projects for us. So
yeah, and it's nice that we're in a city that's growing just as rapidly.
Yeah, I mean,
because the work just keeps coming.
We're super fortunate. I mean, to be in this town in the Mayo Clinic, it's mm-hmm. definitely helped us grow. You know, we've done a lot, majority of these subdivisions in Rochester, you know.
There's so many houses.
Yeah, I mean, Mayo Clinic has been nothing but awesome for us as a business, and we're really appreciative and just fortunate to be here.
Yeah. What, you know, I'm sure there's been quite a few, but what are maybe like big struggles that the company, you know, had seen, or, you know, that just, big things that come up that, you know, you had to get past or over, you know, things like that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, when it comes down to start bidding work, mm-hmm. right? You get a set of plans from an engineer or a sketch from a developer, and you provide a price to them, you know, and if you're the low bidder when it comes to city work or state work, there is no, unless you get a change order, there is no going back and saying, hey, I screwed up on that project. Mm-hmm. I screwed up on, you know, the yards for the dirt, or, you know, I need some more money to do this project. Right. It's you're pretty lonely out there. You got to complete it for what you bid it for. Mm. And, so we've had jobs that, or, you know, there's no soil borings on jobs, and, we get out there and we start digging down, and it's just, you know, you're trying to install,
you don't really know what
infrastructure in 4 feet of water. Yeah. So then we got to take a pause, and then we got to, you know, dewater the site. Well, mm-hmm. if we didn't have that figured, you know, that's on us. So there's a lot of that. I mean, the construction, we haven't just been excelling, you know,
and
making money every single year. It has been up and down constantly. Right. And, you know, as we grow, though, from those experiences, you know, you start to learn and you start to, you know, figure out, okay, we're not going to do this time. Mm-hmm. And, so there's lots of challenges. I mean, the construction industry alone is high stress, a lot going on. We got time, you know, trying to get everything done before snow flies. Yeah. So.
And, all the equipment's expensive. You don't want to, everything is just like expensive.
The equipment would shock a lot of people. I mean, some of our stuff is worth a lot more than people's houses. Right. You know, it's, you don't really think about that. Yeah. You know, man, I didn't really grasp that until I started after buying some of this equipment. So mm-hmm. our productivity and doing the jobs on time and getting them done correctly and not have to go back is a key piece to what we do.
Does the bidding process, I mean, does that do a lot of companies shoot themselves in the foot? Like if they do it wrong, cause you know, just again on that, like if you're saying you're doing it for this,
yeah,
you realize that was a lot more into it than
that's on them. The hook. Yeah, you're on the hook. Yeah, it's and it hurts companies a lot. I mean, the smaller companies. I mean, you could be a couple $100,000, and it's usually an open bid when it's a state or it's a federal city job. So you actually see everybody's what they bid.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, private work usually don't because they don't usually release that information. But so you see what everybody's bidding, and you know if everybody's at $1 million and this person comes in at 600, you know you wonder what he was thinking or what he missed, or maybe there's an avenue that we didn't see. But our guys are, you know, my whole estimating team is you know one of the best, and you know sometimes we actually dive into the plans too much we see too much what you know needs to be done. And so we're trying to balance that a little bit. Because then we put, you know, what the correct money is on the job to get the job done.
But everyone else hasn't looked in that deep. But now somebody else
hasn't seen that. And so that's where that.
God, you know, that's interesting. Trying to like play that line.
It's nerve wracking when you prepare a bid. You know, you've been working on it for, you know, 3-4 days, you know, overnights, and just trying to make sure you hone in on it. And then you go to a bid letting. Mm-hmm. Before pre-COVID, you used to go to a bid letting, and then they sit up in the front of the the city hall, and they'll just open your bid and then read it out loud.
Really,
you're shaking in your boots.
Interesting.
Hoping that you have everything covered. You know, you don't want to be the super low guy, but you don't want to be the super high guy either. Yeah. So you try to be in the middle. But it's fun. It's
is that like open to anyone? Like, can I just like sit in the back? And, like,
yeah, you can. Yeah, yeah, it's open. It's open to anyone. So
I'll throw a bid in.
come check it out. It's an intense. It's an intense thing.
I mean, even just from what we've done in construction with construction companies, just how extensive that bidding period is. I mean, these guys are pulling out just stacks of like paper, and you're like, wow, that's intense.
Yeah, I mean, to
I was talking to somebody actually. I won't say any names, but they're like, "There's projects where we'll have six figures in before we even get the job." Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we're doing all this work, and I don't know how that is for you exactly, but like you're actually spending time and money on these bids, and you don't even know if you got it yet.
Yeah, I mean, we have estimators, and they're bidding jobs, and 80% you don't get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, or where I'll take an excavator out to a site and we'll do test holes to see what kind of soil there is, if there isn't soil borings. So yes, you spend a ton of time, preparing bids to do the research. Cause when you're bidding, it doesn't matter what side's a job, it just takes time. You don't want to just throw something together and hope it sticks.
Right.
So
for you, where do you see, or where would you like the company to grow? How do you want it to, you know, looking into the future?
Yeah, so we like I stated before, as we started this earth retention division, and just keep growing our services, you know, what we have and are diverse. We have pretty diverse on what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, with the asphalt, the restoration, and the underground, you know, and then obviously moving the earthwork. I don't see us, you know, and then obviously getting the earth retention. I just see us honing our craft and, you know, maybe growing a few more crews, maybe, you know, expanding our reach a little more, depending on who wants to travel a little bit. But what we do is a craft, and it's a, you know, it takes a lot of expertise to do it right. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to keep honing that craft in.
Absolutely. No, that's exciting. And like, you got to be excited just about, because you're still a young guy. You got a lot of company and a lot of future left with Elkhorn. Just everything that you're doing.
There's a lot of shoes to fill. I mean, it's big shoes to fill, right? Yeah. To be a part of this and to have a family heritage of being in Rochester.
What do you think for your kids?
You know, my kids have, it's funny because, you know, I grew up in, you know, skid loaders, and we used to live at the rock quarry where we have our quarry, they've been in skid loaders.
Yeah.
They all know what excavators are. You know, they know all the terminology of things. We go to job sites. They love it. I mean, being my kids are 10, you know, 8 and 6.
Right.
So I mean, they love it, and they love being a part of it. They love the atmosphere. The guys are great too. Kids will come on site.
Oh yeah.
they'll give.
I bet the guys like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fun. You know, it's fun to do. You know, give the next generation a mm-hmm. a glimpse of what you do. You know, everybody wants me to have, you know, birthday parties over the sand pit or, you know, do fun things like that. But yeah, you know what? They can do whatever they want. Yeah. I'm not going to push them into anything. I was never pushed into it. Mm-hmm. I felt led to it. But they're all have unique personalities.
Right.
You know, you see every one of my kids, it's like, man, you know, there's all different ways that they approach things. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for them to grow up and definitely have, I'm going to instill hard work and, you know, they're going to have to pay for, you know, lots of things and, mm-hmm. and they're going to have to, you know, come to Elcor and work in the summers and figure out what they want to do.
Yep.
But they'll definitely know what hard work is. So,
yeah. And you don't, you know, obviously growing up, they're going to make their own decisions, but you know, is there an element of like, you know, the hope of that, hey, you know, that you're going to continue this kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm totally hoping they will, for sure. I have two boys and a girl, you know, I hope my oldest is a girl, and I hope, you know, if she would be involved, I hope all of them will.
Yeah.
But I know that family business is tricky, you know, especially with siblings and it can be tricky, but I know I hope all of them, you know, have some sort of interest in it. But if they don't, you know, we'll discuss that at the time. So.
Absolutely. What, I always like to just get into, I mean, we have a lot of listeners that all over the board, you know, just in business, entrepreneurship, in the community, anything like that. But a lot of them, I think, you know, have that interest to continue to grow. You know, what is motivating? What's the next thing? How can I keep succeeding? You know, what advice would you give someone, and it could be in this industry or not, and just like maybe someone that's just not as far along, you know, what would you tell that person?
That how to grow?
Or yeah, that's just interested in business and like, you know, being successful and growing. And
yeah, yeah. I mean, the biggest thing that someone could, you know, that wants to learn the business or wants to grow is just to start doing it. You know what I mean? They just got to get out there and have a good mentor, you know, find somebody that's already doing what you want them to do, what you want to do, and start, you know, get your boots on the ground. You know, if it starts at the lowest, you know, job role of what you want to get to, you know, start there. And the biggest thing is, I think a lot of people talk about what they want to do or they, you know, hey, someday I want to be at this level, but they don't actually make the steps or create a plan to actually get to that spot. So I say start doing, you know, be active in what you want to do, work hard, you know, really focus in and on what you want to achieve and just every day live it out. Mm-hmm. So
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I come from a blue collar, you know, we work hard, you know, that we care about our people and we just want to go have them, you know, hang out with our families. You know, families are very important, face is very important to our families. And that's just, you know, who we are. We're like I said, all these lights and cameras, this is new for me.
Right.
We're not used to this. We don't like to be showy. The Penns family likes to stay under the radar and just do our thing and, you know, go to work, you know. Yep. So to be a part of this, it's growing for me. You know, this is something that's out of my comfort zone. But I think, you know, as we grow, as I grow as a person, you know, I need to step out and start telling my story. You know, and I don't think a lot of people know that, you know, we came here from Germany in 1865 in Rochester. You know what I mean?
You know, I didn't know you're sixth generation Penns. I mean, yeah, kids are seven. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. So,
but even touching on this quick, I mean, we're in a studio with doing a podcast. Like, where do you see technology influencing the construction industry?
Yeah. So, yeah, and it has already, right? With like the machine control GPS, that's been going on for probably 15 years now. We were actually the first ones in Rochester to start, you know, exploring that idea. You know, back in the day when I was working summers, I'd have a bag across my shoulders with lath. It's like wood lath, and you pound in the ground and you write the grades for the dozers so they can build the ponds or build the streets or you're setting TBCs. And now there's a screen inside the dozer. It's called machine control. And it's all run by GPS and CAD files that you build and you put into this machine, and it shows the cuts and fills. And so there's a lot of technology that way. They came out with drones that you can fly over sites, and you can actually take a grid, a grid of the existing soil or existing plot of land, and then you can move dirt, and then you can do it again, and then you can actually see how much dirt you've moved or how much you've hauled off site. So the technology is there. I mean, there's a lot of things that the construction industry is adapting, and there's a lot of, you know, people are like, hey, you know, we're not, we don't trust it, or we want nothing to do with technology because we're the, you know, hard nose, and we've always done it this way, you know. And I think I'm more of a new age, like, hey, we're gonna try it, and we're gonna, you know, I don't 100%, you know, follow that because it could be wrong, right? Because, but you know, we're open to it.
And it seems like it's about just efficiency.
100%.
There's a lot that just,
I mean, you eliminate, you know, two grade guys, you know, that could be out there and knocking stakes over and have to set them back up. And yeah, I mean, we make the engineers' staking office, you know, easier that we have GPS, because we're not always calling them for new stakes or things like that. But yeah, GPS has been, you know, monumental for us as a company.
How do you see, obviously, like, technology and the machines and the software, where do you see, you know, the technology and social media, how is that going to influence the industry with growth, with hiring, with, you know, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think construction has kind of, I mean, we're getting there, but there's a lot of companies that don't even have websites.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and then on top of that, even have a social media, social platforms that they can show what they do. Because a lot of times they feel like they don't need to advertise because they just work for the city,
right?
Or they work for the state or federal work. And so you just get, hey, come bid on this project. And they're not really doing that advertising piece. But I don't see it so much of that. I see it, you know, the guys love seeing the videos that you produce, you know, they're out there and they're watching, they show their families, they show their friends. And so I see that as a long-term thing that, you know, for hiring, for, you know, having their wife be proud that they're out there running an excavator, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I think we're ahead a little bit on that because, like I said, there's a lot of companies that don't have that, which is, seems crazy nowadays.
But I mean, a lot of the people that we talk to, it's just like, there's just so much on, well, why do I need it? You know, and it's so new that there's a lot of education that goes into what you can do with it, you know, what the possibilities are.
I mean, I know when we first started, I'm like, hey, how do I do this or this? You know, I was green. Yeah. I thought I knew everything. That's one great thing about this business is you're constantly learning. You know what I mean? If you're not learning, you know, you're dying pretty much. You know what I mean? So it's great to, and I don't know everything, you know? So, I mean, in this business, there's so many things to know, but if you have a great team and you're able to collaborate with them, you know, we'll definitely find the answer and be able to, and, you know, bring people that aren't in the business, but or have a business mind to be able to coach you and to be able to, you know, there's just, it's cool to be a part of. So
I like it. Before we close, I mean, what, I'd like to touch just a little bit on like where you see the industry in general going for the trades with, you know, young kids coming out of high school. You know, is there a need for college all the time? I think there's a lot of, or traditionally there was this push of you graduate, you have to go to college.
100%.
And I feel like it's changed so much.
Yes.
But not necessarily like this big push to the trades now though, you know, but there's a ton of opportunity.
Yeah. So I think we've talked about this before. 100%. I'm 100% for college, right? But I think there's only a key, you know, there's key jobs that you need for college, right?
Right.
I've been trying to coach people and talk to schools and try to get out there as much as I can for the trades, right? The trades is a huge thing. And I think that schools, high schools have been very instrumental in, hey, we need to go to college after high school. I'd say half the people that go to college probably don't know what they want to do when they get to college as a freshman.
I had no idea
right
away.
So, you know, if you, I just understanding, getting out there, getting your hands dirty, putting work boots on or whatever you're doing, you know, the trades is a huge thing. And I think that it's very important that, you know, if you want to go to college, great. If not, there's a great opportunity. There's a great career that you could do without going to college. Because there's a lot of life skills that you can learn just being out there, you know, the discipline of being on to work on time and learning a new craft you know, the training that we provide and growing in that and the promotions. You know, we hire most of our hires are within. So we, you know, promote trying to hire the laborers into operators and the operators into foremen and the foremen into superintendents and just kind of grow that culture. So yes, trades is a huge thing for us, and I think that the high school should keep promoting that as we grow, and I'm an advocate for that as well. So
I like it. Yeah, because that was, I mean, coming out of high school, it was just like, yep, go to college, and I went and I dropped off did the first semester and I dropped out. I'm like, this isn't what I want to do.
Yeah. And then it's totally fine.
You know, working.
Right.
And it was just, I worked, you know, three different jobs and, you know, tried different stuff out and, you know, went here and there and whatever, but I've always wanted to start a company and this kind of just made sense. And, you know, that's the history, but I think there's just so many kids that don't realize, like, this is a really good and viable option. You know, like, yes, you're going to work hard, but you're also going to get paid very well.
Yeah.
And, you know, pay benefits, all these things. And like, and you don't have to go in debt from college.
That's just it. We got a lot. We have guys that have 4-year degrees and they have, you know, $150,000 in debt, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, obviously if you're going to become a doctor or a lawyer, correct. These expertise things,
there's certain things that you absolutely can't without.
And you college. Can learn yeah. things in college too. There's a lot of things you can learn, but there's mm-hmm. a lot of things that, hey, why am I here? You know, mm-hmm. I could be working, I could be, you know, earning a living, you know, starting a new life. But there's a lot of things, you know, it's a thing that we definitely push the trades.
Yep.
And hope that people understand that there's something outside of going to college. I mean, look at you. Did you go back?
No. I did a semester at RCT, so I did a semester out of Bible college, and you know, both I enjoyed, but I just didn't see.
At some point, there. Did you say, "Hey, did you have an idea?" Then you were like, "Hey, I want to start something, or I want to
create
a team." Or
I actually got back the week I got back from the Bible college. You know, I was probably 21, something like that at the time. First week I got back, went to church. Guy owned a big steel manufacturing plant in Spring Valley. Walks up to me. Obviously, Dad had said, "Hey, Josh is coming back." He says, "Hey, you want a job? You want to come in for an interview?" That was Sunday. Monday, I showed up for an interview in front of three guys. I'm like, "Let's do this," worked there for a while. But I got into more photo and video there, and that's why I'm like,
"I see.
Okay, I enjoy doing this, and I can definitely do more of that." And that was a great company, but at the time, I was just so hungry, and I couldn't move up any further. So I'm like, "Let's try this out." You know, I've always wanted to do it. So,
right. Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
Pretty cool to see where you started and to where you are now, and
it's been fun
and how fast your company has grown in Rochester. And I mean, you're obviously trying to do, you know, I mean, where are you at right now from Rochester? Are you working
we got six guys on the team. We're trying to really just spread our wings and go east and west now. It's like there's a lot of need. There's also a lot of kids that are trying to get into video and so it's been cool, you know, seeing people, I mean, even our guys now, like each one of the guys had, or at least Dakota and Damien they had started companies in video and they were doing it. And, you know, sometimes you just don't realize all the business parts.
100%.
And really you just love to do what you love doing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, "Hey, if this makes sense for you, you know, we'd love you on the team," kind of thing, and they've just flourished from here. So it's been awesome.
That's good. It's good to see.
First of all, the community, but then the relationships that we get to build, and then just see their companies transform over the years.
Right.
They get to see ours. We get to see theirs. You just know the ins and outs.
Yeah.
I love the people part of it.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's great. I'm glad we met. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably 6 years. I don't know when you started being.
It was probably 4 years ago.
Four years ago. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 It's a cool thing. So thanks, man, for.
Hey, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. This is fun.
I really appreciate it.
This is a good time. It's good to know you better.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're cheering for you. So.
Absolutely. Well, big thanks to our listeners. You know, I hope you guys continue to learn stuff, stay motivated. Now, as always, if you did enjoy the podcast, remember to share that. Just tell someone to give it a listen, and we'll see you on the next one.